You can charge you, but you're eating away.
So let's not waste time. So let's start with, let's pick up where we left off and chew at the Tosh Bates. You might want to give us the quick summary. Rumi, you want to give us a quick summary of what's going on? Yeah, the major chiddush here is that the kfiyah has to be on the adam atzmo in order for it to count as wrongful kfiyah, and kfiyah on the av would not count as kfiyah on the ben. I think the most important takeaway from that is that there are certain rules for what constitutes kfiyah. Like, it's not just this question of was he acting freely or not acting freely. There are some objective considerations that have to be met before we could say that this is a get and lusa. That's the same theme that I think resurfaces when you talk about moda. Like, when is a moda, a good moda, to be mevatel a get? Moda, even in a case where it seems like he's being forced. We'll talk about that. The other major chiddush, other than saying that kfiyah al yedei achirim is not considered kfiyah, is what? The other really important idea, maybe related to the idea that we saw in the last year. Zev's issue that Zev raised. That if you could be kofahim on something else, yeah, you can. If you could be kofahim on something else that he is obligated to do, and that forces him to give a get, that's considered legitimate. So what was the example in the Tosh Bates? If he's chayav to give a ksuba, and you're forcing him to pay up the ksuba, in the Funos and the Tosh Bates, is a long discussion about what he means. One suggestion there is that implicitly, the wife is going to agree to be mocheles on her ksuba if he gives the get. So the idea is that you're koping to pay the ksuba, and then she's going to waive her ksuba if he's megarish her.
So that is a little more indirect.
Well,
that is a little more indirect.
So it's a little more indirect in the sense that you're not forcing him, and it's Taj Bates' word, mamish legarish. You're forcing him to pay up the ksuba. As an effect of forcing him to pay the ksuba, he consents to gerushin. Yeah.
There's no problem that he's not tied.
That was your issue in the last year. So in the footnotes there, the suggestion is that in a case of yotzi v'yipin ksuva, so wherever he's obligated to, like once there's a psak that he has to divorce, the chiyuv ksuva kicks in even before gerushin. There's like a here and now obligation to pay out the ksuva. That's the chiddush. Not obvious, but that's clear what Tosh Bates is assuming. That would be the answer to your question.
Where are these?
The Mechon Yishalayim Tosh Bates. The black, the black and reddish series. Those are the best editions of the Chuvah Rishonim. There's like copious footnotes on this. Copious footnotes. Hey guys. So this is a chiddush that's parallel to the chiddush of kfiya al yedei achirim, because the rest is still the same. Like you're still applying the same type of pressure, but for the same reason that we said, hey, if you're kofa as somebody else, that's not considered kofa on him. So similar here, not in terms of persons, but in terms of things that you're kofa on. If you're kofa on the ksuva, that's not considered kfiya on the gerushin. That's the chiddush of the Tosh Bates. It's a very delicate and subtle distinction. Now, I want to point out that the contemporary prenups, I think, rely on something parallel to this theory of the Tosh Bates. Some of you before asked about, are we assuming that you, like, when we have the prenups, are you assuming that you could obligate somebody for chiv mamon, and ones mamon is not considered ones forgiven. That's not what ones benafshe. If it's self-imposed, is that the basis for saying that you could voluntarily accept an obligation? So like the good contemporary prenups rely on this idea that the obligation that he's mechayiv himself in has nothing to do with the get. So they're usually structured as a chiv mizonos. Like if you're still halachically married, so then the husband has a support obligation to the wife. And so he just says explicitly, if we're separated and we don't live together anymore, I'm obligating myself to pay you your chiyuv mizonos that Jewish law entitles you to at the amount of whatever dollars per day. So the kfiyah is on the support obligation, and it just makes it costly for him to remain married to her. So machmas that, the husband might decide that it's in his financial interest to no longer be paying out money to her in mizonos, and that'll induce him to divorce. Now, whether that's relying on the tashbates or whether there's an independent ground for it is an interesting question, but structurally, it's very similar to this idea of the tashbates, that the kfiyah here is not to divorce. The kfiyah here is on some separate chiyuv, in his case, the ksuba. So there's a chazanush that we'll talk about later on that talks about being kofeh a husband to support his wife. And if the support obligation is too costly, that might induce him to divorce. The chazanush himself says the important metric, though, and this is against the tashbates, is that it's got to be that in the set of cases, like in the sample space of like where he's given the option of continue to pay your wife money or get divorced, sometimes he'll choose to pay the money. That's why it's not considered kfiyah on the gerushin, because the route of payment is still open. The Tashbis himself is not endorsing that view. I think the Tashbis himself seems to say that even if in 100% of the cases, we know it's yotzi v'yitein ksuba, the husband, if you kope him on the ksuba, he's going to divorce. It's a, for lack of a better term, a formal distinction that the kfiyah is on the ksuba, not on the divorce. That's the way the Tashbis sees it. And again, I just want to emphasize that it's the same move that he's making, that the kfiyah is on the father, not on the son, even if that ultimately induces the son to divorce. So a crucial takeaway from this analysis is that kfiyah doesn't just mean that he divorced non-volitionally or under duress. There are all these restrictions on what counts as kfiyah that would invalidate the gerushin. Everybody see that? It's like a... That's like the crucial thing to take away from this analysis so far. Well, yeah, there are certain rules that make something kfiyah, not just the fact that it wasn't volitional or on his free ratzon, right? Like I think it's wrong to say in the tashbates that in all these cases you have his ratzon achafshi, right? Because you coerced the father, you didn't coerce him, so he's doing it under his free will, or you coerced him on the ksuba, not on the get, so you have his free will. No, the answer is, maybe there's some lack of ratzon here, but it doesn't qualify as a get musa for these the burdens of ones have not been met. Something along those lines.
Meaning, it's not the necessary cause, but it is a cause, and you need non-volitional in order to one ingredient, right? To get
Maybe like it's one, the fact that it's non-volitional is a piece of,
it's a crucial,
maybe. I think it's still ambiguous to me what the relationship is between the concept of ones and the concept of ratzon. Remember when we had the Rambam and Hilchos Gerushin, we saw there are two dimensions to the Rambam's analysis. Does that ring a bell? What are the two dimensions?
The Rambam.
In the Rambam, more than two dimensions.
Whether it's like it's an actual point that like.
But why is it not ones?
Because you really want to do it.
Because you can't. Nothing is ones if it's consistent with what the Torah wants. That was the first part of the Rambam. And number two, why is it ratzon? Because every Jew, rotzei lios miyisrael, wants to do what the Torah says. So you can see those two dinim, it's still a bit, Yudi, it's a little open what exactly the relationship between those two dinim are in this whole sugya. Maybe the Tashbase is telling us that, yeah, like it's, a get doesn't really require ratzon in the strict sense. What's really important is that it's not musa. And you could bypass musa as long as you're not coercing him, you're not coercing on the gerushin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right, we're thinking along those lines. Another chiddush that Tashbates had is that he speculated that ones mamon is lav shmei ones, against many of the Rishonim that we saw earlier on in the discussion. Okay. So let's pick up with that. So that's the bottom of 39. V'yesh ones acher. Let's get a... V'yesh ones acher. Api shehu unta d'achrini, eino ones begufo. So here he says these would not constitute ones, even though they're classic cases of ones mamon. Correct? Okay. Ahare zosa isha kofa es baila lagarsha kfias mamon. Zeo ina ani mistapik boem hu kfia. Bahavagem usa im lo. So what's his topic about? So here he has a very big chiddush. What's his chiddush? What's his chiddush in this discussion of ones mamon? And this pulls in a crucial point about the nature of moda. Bottom paragraph of 39. Anybody catch this chiddush? I'll tell you what he says. He says that it's true. There are some cases where ones mamon is considered ones, but only if you're moser moda. If it's a case of ones mamon, but you're not moser moda, then that's not considered ones. Where does he say that? Aval ones mamon beget I masar moda leis din veles dayan devade have a moda. If it's ones mamon beget, everybody agrees that if you're moser moda, that the moda is good. I feel a bit shikra, even if the moda is false. If you're moser moda in a case of ones mamon, that invalidates the get. Aval ilo masar moda v'yadua milsa demachmas oso isoy gireish misapkeli yihave isoy alo v'karavani lomark dekivan shelo masar moda lo have a get melusa klav v'agavomse gamarim garish. Really striking chiddush here, where the thing that turns the get into a get melusa is the moda. So again, it's a case where you're giving the get machmas ones mamon. We're going to steal all your money if you don't give the get. If there's no moda, the get's kosher. But if you are moser, even if we know that it's machmas ones, but if you're moser moda, in that case, then the get becomes puzzle. It's a really striking thing. Like why should the Mesiras Hamoda be what's decisive in turning this into a get Musa? Notice his rationale. He's like, if there's no Moda, we'll say Agav Onsei Gamar Makni. Like you acted freely. But if you're Moser Moda, then we're going to view it differently. So the objective facts are the same in each case, but what distinguishes them is whether you're Moser Moda in advance. Jonathan?
Yeah, it kind of seemed like... Like this is sort of a case where there's no obvious assumption that we could make whether if someone's like threatening his life, that's definitely ones. Whereas if someone's like threatening him with something much more minor,
like financial.
No, but like financial is like in between, where like ruining someone financially is something which could be ones but could not be. So we don't have if we have specific admission from him that it's ones, then it makes sense that it would be ones. And if you don't, then it makes sense that it wouldn't be.
Okay, so you like the distinction.
Yeah, it seems like a clear enough one to me.
That's something like a moda could put you over the edge in how we perceive the action. Good. Ezra?
Just also like we've been saying that like we saw in the end, all the moda is to like this tell you that there's like this is the like, the ones. So again, I guess we don't have the same. Just like a proof for that is that idea that the whole purpose of Muda is to say that there's ones.
Right, but again, in the case of ones aguf, well, possible even if there's no Muda.
Yeah, so
the chiddush here is that there's a unique set of cases that are neither here nor there, like a case of ones mamon where the Muda is decisive.
That's the point, right? Well, when they're right? The Muda is only for ambiguous cases, and he's just that means the past big thing is an ambiguous case.
Correct.
And therefore, that's why you need
Moda
in this case.
Correct. Josh?
Maybe I'm forgetting something. Doesn't Moda can't like disqualify the get even if there's no one else ever?
Say it again?
I thought like the simple understanding Moda is that cancels the get period with no other elements needed.
Not going to attach rates. You're saying based on what the Shulchan Aruch said, or
yeah, just like I thought that was like
the problem. Like the Shulchan Aruch might hold that way, but it's not the view of the attach rates, okay. Right? So you have to kind of. What's one of the amazing things I'm reading through this Tashbates is you see the crucible of halacha. It's like the laboratory where like Piskei Dinim are forged. You can see he's kind of not sure about how to juggle all these different elements. You see it in action more so than when you just see like a Rishon commenting on the side of the Gemara, right? He's trying to like pull all the data together into make sense. Like what are the final rules? Okay, then he repeats, I'm not sure why he repeats this, but he repeats the Ones Idea Achirim discussion in the highlighted section. Just a really interesting observation. We've been puzzled, what's the basis for his Chiddush that Ones Idea Achirim constitutes non-Ones, that it doesn't invalidate the get? So notice he prefaces this discussion by saying we never find a precedent for this in the Gemara. Lo matzino lo dom gemara. So there's not, the gemara is just silent on this question. So what do we do about it? Notice here, who are they threatening? The different guy. Who are they talking to?
The guy. Oh no, they're talking about the guy, they're not talking to.
Exactly. They're beating up the father and they're talking to the father. There's a whole din in the Achronim here. I put the Mishnah Melech after the Tshuva of the Tashbates. The Mishnah Melech says the Tashbates must be right, is only right if they never spoke to the Ben. But the Tashbates would concede that if they spoke to the son and they said, we're beating up your father until you give a get, that would make it ones on him. That's the Mishnah Melech. Some of the later Achronim say that's not true. There's no evidence in the Tashbates to support that. It happens to be in the case that the Tashbates discusses, he says, Ad she yigareish ploni. So it's a case where they're talking to the father and coercing the father. It's an open question what the Tashbates holds if they turn to the son and say, give your wife a get or else we're going to continue to beat up your father. That's Machlokas Achronim interpreting the Tashbates. Here we don't know, right? Here we don't know. Notice he just says, I mean, you see exactly what I see, right? Even if they threaten to kill the person's child, that doesn't qualify as ones. So notice here, the girsha lahatzil beno, kivin shlomaser moda, einze get muusa klal, she'ena yisrael begupo. Notice here, he says it's not considered ones. So that's true. No, it's not begufo. She'ena isui el begufo. It's only considered to get musa if you're masa in begufo. Oh, okay. But notice he does say kivet shalom masar moda. If there is a moda, it could be here too. The Tashbates will say that suddenly turns the kfiya al yidei achirim into a problematic coercion. Everybody see that? Benji?
Just technical question. It's just a little bit hard to follow. Do you think you're not signed in or not connected to Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Ah.
You're not
on the dot.
No,
you're
all right, that was just me. Okay.
That's so weird. Okay, I'll reload the page.
It could be that you're doing that on my own
app. No, I think that's me.
Now you might see it. I see.
When you refresh, it went to 16 and then back to 17 for a second.
Yeah, but I don't see it.
Are
you
signed it to the? Give me a second. How about now? Do you see me in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. What page are we on? That's terrible. You didn't see. Why didn't you say something earlier, Benji?
Well, I wanted to know if it was me, and then I was sleeping around and I looked at the
computer. Got it. Okay. So we're on 40, right?
40.
What's that?
I don't know.
41.
Just
now, right?
41.
You got to do exactly.
Okay, yeah, so Odi Shoniha. Let me just make, he says, just summarizing, he does address that objection that the Rashba had that we saw last year, that the Rashbash quoted from the Rashba, that with respect to Nidarim, coercing someone's child makes it into a Nidre Ones, which he then could be Matir. The Tashbates doesn't buy that. He says, that's true. He says, Haynu Lemeimar Demikri Ones Leinan Lemiftere Mishum Danos Achmana Patre. That's only an Anos with respect to the fact that we won't hold you liable for making such a neder. But aval inyan get meusa eino inyan she'ein kol hanenas nikra meusa. That's a crucial distinction, saying, hey, that's what Ezra has been saying for months. It's a crucial distinction that not everything that counts as onas with respect to other areas of halacha turns a get into a get meusa. That's the fundamental distinction. So basically with that one line, the Tashbit says, stop borrowing paradigms of Ones from other areas of Shas, because those aren't the criteria or standards for defining when a get is considered given under duress. Okay. So now we're going to skip down. There's one comment here in the bottom of 40, which is a really important line. He says, going back to the facts of the case, he says, how could this be considered duress? The fact that they locked the father in the country, they wouldn't let him leave. So look at this one line here. Romy, you want to read it first? Temalaspa, hech yikrezeh megarish anos.
Temalaspa, hech yikrezeh megarish anos, and say, shall hear from others, last day's notes from Makom. Kada shall tikvu, as you got to know, ela, as yamu, badin. So, meaning, how are you called family, first of all, because they're not for them to get again. They're just making him come to court.
Here the Tashbit is a chiddush. There's no real halachic base. Like, what's the halachic basis for this? He's just saying, hey, anybody who wants to ma'age and their wife, it's considered kfiya kedin to force them to show up to Bezdin.
Sure.
To show up to Bezdin. To at least like explain yourself, like why are you not giving your wife a get? So coercing somebody to at least meet that initial phase, the Tashbit Chair is a chiddush, so that's considered kfiya kedin, even if we know no facts about they should be divorced or not be divorced. That's a striking comment that the Tashbit just makes off, you know, on the side. It's a really interesting thing, a history of halacha question. Like, you have the Tashbits. Right, this is like one of the most important shuvas about kfiya and gittin. Just like, it's interesting, what does the Beis Yosef cut out and put in the tour? And what does he leave? So the Tashbeis, some of the Tashbeis is clearly accepted, Allah HaMaisa, but then he has these other things here, and it's an interesting question whether, you know, you lean on this as halachic doctrine or the Tashbeis is speculation. But he's saying that He says this is the halacha in his view. Anybody who wants to be gorim igun, you could be kofer them kedin to show up to explain themselves. All right. Then he goes into a slightly different point. So read this, Romy. Sorry, not that. The second part of that. The ode. Afilu nasa zeha ones begufo. So here he says something really interesting. What's this idea?
That if you, even if he was, you know, you beat him up, but then you gave him some kind of incentive and he agreed, then that wouldn't be considered ones.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Tol yuno bezavin zvine zvini.
This is after you gave it.
So remember here, remember the wife put money in escrow in this case, which her family agreed to pay him a certain payout for giving the get. Tashbit says, wait a second, the dinim of kfiya don't apply if there's a financial gain that the husband is receiving by giving the get. Right? So no, by the way, this happens very often today. Like the wife's family will oftentimes say, like, oh, you know, we'll give you a lot of money to give the get it's usually part of the divorce settlement. Right, that's why.
Organizations raise money. Like, I'm sure the guy was going to get it. You get it.
Terrible. Yeah. It's like kidnapping.
Yeah, but it'd be affected.
For it, or they just hold out for more money, right?
Oh, thank
you. So let's unpack this idea. Where does he get this idea from? Yeah, Artsy Zuze, right? That he maybe he's consenting in that case based off the money that he's receiving.
Not
Agabonse de Zuze, but because he's getting the money, he's going to consent. Right, correct, correct. It's not the duress that got him to give the get, it's the financial benefit that he wanted to gain for himself. Yeah, there's something sweetening the deal here, which adds extra reason to say that we have his ratzon. So let's look at that formulation here. So he says this. What?
The one by the pilot?
No, where does he explicate that idea of Ayude Pigeon? I thought it's later on in the Tshuva. Huh? I thought it's later on in the Tshuva. Am I wrong about that? I mean, that's strange that he throws it in his summary here. Oh, yeah, here. It's in this section. So. Here, look at this. Umiu Bittel Baya. It's he should have explained this a little more. More explicit in the Tshuva of the Rashbash. All right, I'll have to find out why. All right, what's the discussion of? Let's move on to the discussion of Bittel Modelos here. So he says, he summarized in this section over here, based off all these reasons, he thinks that there's no basis to say that there is real genuine anus in this case. But the question is, what's the remaining issue that he wants to address? Yeah, maybe you need bittel modos, even if there's no objective anus. Okay, so there's no objective anus, and maybe the fact that he was moser moda is a problem for us. That says, umi o bittel boy, go ahead, Romy.
So
he's concerned here that even if we know that there's no onas, you still might require bittul modos. And that's what he's trying to figure out in this section here. So we know there's no objective onus, halachically speaking, but maybe the mere fact that he was moser moda would call the get into question. So he wants to figure out whether the bittul modos works. So he moves on to say, so let's hear. What's the first issue that he wants to figure out? What language do you need for bittul modos? That's something we'll see in that Zichron Yehuda, which comes, you like that Zichron Yehuda, Ezra?
A little, it's also long.
It is very long. So number one, he says, first issue, was there a bittul moda in this case? He thinks, what's that?
I said, I didn't realize you were talking about language, I misread it.
Say it again?
I I didn't realize that that didn't need a specific language. I was confused.
A bit of modos.
Yeah, like when he's talking about like how do you do it, I realized it
was so he in this case he was mevat the modos before the get was written. But then there was a second thing that he said afterwards that he's giving the get bekoach. That was the issue here. So skip now to page 42. What about, so he thinks the bitl modos was good. But what about the fact that he said after he's mevat the modos that he's giving the get bekoach? So is that moda? I'm giving this get, I say I'm giving the get under duress. So number one, what does the tashbit say? It's not a good, that doesn't count as a moda. Why? It's not, he wasn't moser it to the Edim. So there are formal rules for what constitutes a moda. Because kivan shlo hayu dvarav le'edim ke moser moda aleyem, divim moda b'yinan she'im sardarp el ha'edim, u'v'yinan ami she'yu shnayim. So it's not enough that you made some proclamation. You have to be made to these Edim and say, harini moser moda lefnechem ploni uploni adayanim. What is that? So that's he has a whole discussion there trying to prove that from the Gemara. We're not going to get into that. Then if you look at the bottom of 42, look at this discussion here, bottom of 42 to 43. He says, and beyond that, I'm not sure what the language about aninosein bekoach getzeh, what does that connote? It could imply duress, but it may also imply language of non-duress.
Did he explain?
He has two ways. He says, Efshar, that he means that I don't want to give this get at all. That's the first half of this discussion here. Then you can see on the second to last line in 42, what I'm highlighting now, the Efshar Gamkein, Romeo, read it. Efshar Gamkein, Shir Ritzona Bomro.
Efshar Gamkein, Shir Ritzona Bomro, Bekoach, and Yotim, and so Chovahu, Allah, and Tidye Shemaim, Nikimash, Efshar, and Skyim, and Zibu, and Nigarish, King, and Nigarish. He came rightly
the call about Brishol Lagim Moshe Shach.
He's saying I have to give it because I need
it mean
what's right to do. So I'm doing what's right, even though it's sad.
Yeah. So Aninosim Bekoach, I'm giving it under force. Does he mean the pressure of humans forcing him, or does he mean under the force of a halachic obligation? Hovahu alai latzis yidei shemayim. Like I wish I could stay married, but the Torah thinks that I shouldn't be ma'agin b'nos Yisrael.
What it says right afterwards?
What?
Seems like he's saying that people are forcing me because they didn't want any more, so I don't want her. But...
Yeah, when he clarifies afterwards. Yeah. So he thinks that because the language is ambiguous, we wouldn't interpret it as a language of moda. Was that Rami?
Probably the kind of thing that is pretty clear when you see it. Meaning, probably whoever was there would have been able to tell her easily what it meant.
So Tashbeis didn't seem like it was super clear which way the language is supposed to be interpreted.
It wasn't there.
What?
It wasn't there.
That's true. He did think that the subsequent clarification helped. From the later, from like when the Masada Gittin asked him, what do you mean? And he said, oh, because she doesn't want to remain married to me.
Right.
So if you look here in the continuation, he thinks, oh, that's obvious that he was clarifying that it didn't mean pressure from other people. He meant that marriage is broken. I wanted to stay married, but my marriage is broken. That's not considered kfiyah. Okay. Now, there's a whole bunch of really interesting things that come up really quickly at the end of the tshuva. The Tashbeit just throws them out. Not worth our time to spend too much time on it, but I just want to mention them very quickly because they're of interest just to see what people were arguing in the 15th century about this divorce case. So bottom of 43, V'gdola mizu ani omer. So that's his clarification of it, that he clarified afterwards, that's fine. But yesha tala hora'aso machmasa edim atzman she'ena b'nei edus. Maybe when he said Harini Nosin gets a Bekoach, the two witnesses who witnessed that weren't kosher witnesses. So maybe even if it was a Moda, it would be disqualified because the Edim who heard it were Pasul. So in the beginning letters, there's a whole back and forth that those two guys who heard it were Pasul Edus. So Tashbeis rejects that argument. Does anybody know why he rejects it? Really important halacha in Hilchos Psul Eidos. You're only considered Psul Eidos if two Eidim Ksherim are made against you that you're an Avarion, that you did Averas. It's not enough that there's just some speculation that you're not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, but to be Psul Eidos, it has to be established as a determination of fact by two witnesses that you're Psul Eidos. Yeah. You can see here in the highlighted section, Ad she yidu bebezdin shehem hoyu rishayim ba'averos del reisa. Kodim she yidu amoda azu. This comes up every now and then with like people who were like edim on gittin or kedushin, and then later they get themselves in trouble with the law and stuff like that. So the question is, if you don't have edim ksherim originally that they were possible, you're not going to disqualify like these geiruses and stuff like that retroactively. Because sometimes, like, you need an establishment of fact based off to edim that someone is possible edus. Okay, so the Tashbetz on 45 brings another issue that's raised. This is the craziest suggestion ever. Only to be one-upped by the suggestion right after this. But what's the suggestion? This is a major Kedushin Sugya. Yeah, maybe Kedusha Kesef is Drabanan. So maybe she was never married Midaraisa to this guy. It's like a crazy. And the Rambam does say Divrei Sofrim for everyone to learn Kedushin. It's a.
Yeah, it's obviously like
Mishan is snapel, Mishan is palpel bezev, Amar Shishazu, Lohisam Kadesh, Luisham Dvaratora, Nishan is Kaja Bekesef, Kisha Kesef, Ainsa Dvaratora. So it's just like a wild thing to see that this is an argument that was made that, oh, maybe Kedusha Kesef Drabanan, so there's no shame Kedushin Daraisa. That would be that our marriages today are only Drabanan. That's part of the issue with the Rambam and the Rabos of Shel Rashi, and that's the debate in Kedushin. Another wild argument that's thrown out, top of 46. Od Reisi Bekundris Hazeh. So these are the Kuntrasim that were sent to him about this case in Italy. So what's this argument? It seems, by the way, it wasn't explicit in the tshuva that the debate here was like they couldn't have marital intimacy. That was the basis for divorce. I don't know if you caught that from the back and forth. But that's one of the things that comes up in Simon Kufman and Dalit. But there never was a din Torah about it. It was never established as a matter of fact, right? Od Reisi Bekundrus Hazeh. Maybe they're not even married midrabanan. Why? Batam bazeh. The misafer ksuba nilmod shekach kosibla. What does every ksuba say? The eil levasichi keorach kolara. What does that mean in the lashon ksuba? Lashon ksuba. What does that mean? It means that I will live with you and be intimate like the way of people. So maybe this guy, it's as if there's a t'nai in the Kedushin, and he never upheld the t'nai. So the Tazbi says that's crazy, because the ksuva is not a t'nai in the Kedushin, it's just an obligation imposed by the Kedushin. But it's a kind of a clever argument that the Spala Kuntresen said, that you could view some of the terms in the ksuva as a t'nai, and there's some evidence in other cases where you see this. And if you can't uphold the tzai, then the kedushin is batel. But the Tashbetz doesn't like that. He says it's confusing or it's wrong to view the terms of the ksuva as tznayim in the kedushin. Okay. Oh, here it is. Now turn to page 48. Aval reisi shabali svarazu machzikim ba shenimtsu b'nimukei rishonim. Shebeget sheyeshbo pidyon. It's later in the tshuva because you're off, Tani.
Yeah.
There you go. It's later in the tshuva because it's we're gonna end in 1 minute. What? Yeah, 2 minutes. That kimo anida nazeh. I think everyone has class that one anyway. So yeah. Kimo anida nazeh shenis pashru begeirish eloi de mamon. So in this case, there was a payoff at the end. So the Balei HaKondresin made the argument that in such a case, it's Domi Lizvini, so it's like a sale. where you're getting malos in return. And in such a case, lo habe moda adia dinan leonse. And he cites the Rashbam in Bava Basra as saying this. So the rule here is what the argument is that some cases when you're moser moda, the moda itself is meaningless until we could verify the onus that you specified in the moda. So normally we don't have to do that. Unless you're getting compensation for the action that you're doing, there's zuzei, in which case is a special halacha that it's not enough that you declared an ones, the ones has to be proven objectively. So the argument here is that since in this case there's a payoff, you get to hear v'kivan de get kol hecha de ika zuzei dami lezvini imkein batla moda ime elaha. So the idea is the moda is automatically batel if it didn't specify, or we know that there's no genuine ones here. We know there's no genuine ones here because they're the beginning part of the tshuva. It's onus on the father, not on the son. Davar acher. So he says, in which case, maybe it's batal me'elel. He said that he was nanas. We know there's no onus. Usually, yatim batal moda, but not in a case according to this argument where you're getting zuzi in exchange for the action. Did I see that? And the Tashbase likes that. He says, "Ve'elu hadvarim berurim v'nechonim lefi svarazu, v'krova hi eladas." V'lo matzasi b'feirsh lachem and aposkim shamar v'hepach miza. I haven't found anybody who says to the contrary. So he ends up defending this view. Tremendous chiddush. So if you're moser moda, but we know that there was no ones that actually happened, we will not require bittul modos in a case where there's a payoff. Okay, one final point in the Tashbates here. There's a major, major discussion that we can't get into about, is there such a thing as a chalos moda after you authorize the ksivas aget? Maybe a moda is only valid if you got it in before you commanded the sofer. But maybe like once you commanded the sofer, you've waived your rights to call the get into question. You can maybe do something to mevatel the get after that fact. But you can't give a command to the sofer to go ahead and write it, and then afterwards go ahead and say that you did that be'anos. That's the back and forth in the rest of the tshuva here. Okay, so for next year, I want us to talk about the Rashbash and the Zichron Yehuda. And then quick, do you guys want to spend more time on Ones Begitin? Or do you want to move on to, not Lishma yet, I want to move on to the Gufo Shel Get. Like, what does the Get say? Well, Gufo Shel Get. I mean, we'll spend a little more time on Ones Begitin. But next to get Gufo Shel Get, should we plan to start that in the middle of next week? Gufo Shel Get? Okay. All right, I'll have a little more to say about Ones Begitin and what constitutes Ones.
Yeah, maybe
that's all right, Shkoyakai, sorry about the delay today, but good discussion.